You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, a Trump-era rule requires hospitals to publish their prices for many services, but a lot of hospitals aren't doing it quite yet, and it can be confusing even when they do. A health reporter helps untangle the situation for us. First, it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Member Drive. Bill Martins joins me on the air now. Your support is an essential piece of the funding for Central Time and all your favorite programs on WPR. In fact, listener support is the biggest piece of funding for Wisconsin Public Radio programs. This drive is your time to take some action. You make the programs possible when you give now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Hey, last hour we heard from 20 new and returning members, so thank you very much for those gifts. Today only, all contributions up to $85,000 will be matched by a group of generous members, and I'm told we've got about $13,000 left to go, so let's not leave any of that on the table.
It is their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. Double your support for the programs you love when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio is committed to quality, and that's why we've been around for more than 100 years. Yeah, we're really old. And since listener donations make up
beginning.
since listener donations make up the largest piece of funding for WPR programs, that quality is possible thanks to you.
It seems like only yesterday you and I were learning Morse code to send out the weather
right.
forecast so people could write it down and put it up on storefront windows. Yeah, good times. Your contribution makes this program possible. Not just Morse code weather reports, but the great conversations you hear on Central Time and so many others as well. When you give, you're part of the quality you hear every day on WPR. Make a difference right now with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This member drive, let the impact of your contribution go beyond the WPR programs you love. You can choose to plant a tree as your thank you gift with your donation of $10 a month or more. You'll power the essential news and quality entertainment you rely on, and your thank you gift will help preserve forests in the state. So thank you for making a difference with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You care about stuff going on around the state, the region, and around the world. At WPR and on this program, you get all that kind of information and commentary and suggested reading.
You get news and information and also programs that clear your mind and entertain you. Support all the programs you value at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you ask a Wisconsin Public Radio member why they give, they'll probably tell you it just feels better to listen to WPR when you do give. It feels good to know that you're part of making something special happen.
Absolutely. So make your first ever gift of, say, $10 or $20 a month and enjoy the excitement of supporting your Wisconsin Public Radio. It starts with your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And today is a great day to make your first ever gift because it'll be doubled. Our big dollar-for-dollar match, it is still in effect. So that makes it a great time to support the WPR programs you love. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your support of Wisconsin Public Radio will go twice as far.
And choose to plant a tree as your thank you gift with your donation of $10 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You'll make a difference for WPR and help preserve Wisconsin's woodlands.
If you're not a sustainer, become one right now. It's easy to set up convenient, ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your first year of contributions will be matched dollar for dollar right now.
You tune into the Ideas Network every day. Maybe it's Central Time each and every day, and there's always something cool on. We talk about all kinds of things here on Central Time. We've got food and politics and news and sometimes just zany things like, I don't know, we talked about tea made out of pine needles last Friday. So, I mean, all kinds of stuff here on the Ideas Network. You always learn something new, and we cannot provide that knowledge to you without your generous support. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Heard from Jeff in Colfax. Jeff says, I had been a longtime supporter, took a year off when I retired. I'm proud to be back. Jeff, good to have you back. Hope you've been listening all along. How about you make your gift? Join Jeff. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Get your gift matched right now, and thank you for your support. This is Central Time. If you watched the Oscars last weekend, you might have seen this public service announcement featuring Susan Sarandon and Cynthia Erivo.
For far too long, hospitals across this nation have profited from concealing prices from patients.
Debt we did not expect or could not prepare for. Prices we could not compare because they were nowhere to be seen.
But now it's in the law. All hospitals must publicly publish their prices, which mandates that hospitals are no longer allowed to keep their fees a secret.
And truth is a tourniquet.
It's our health. It's our money to save.
They're referring there to a rule created under the Trump administration requiring hospitals to share info on prices for many tests and procedures. Hospital prices can vary by thousands of bucks even within the same city, and those prices generally kept private. The new rule is intended to eventually drive prices down, but many hospitals aren't complying with it, and critics say even when hospitals do share prices, it's not really intelligible for regular folks. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Have you been surprised by a hospital bill? Have you tried to shop around for a procedure maybe this year since the new rules came into effect? Did it make sense? Do you work at a hospital or do you shop for health plans for your employees? Let us know what you're seeing at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Julie Rovner is the chief Washington correspondent for Kaiser Health News. Julie, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, we heard that ad framing this new rule as a big win for consumers. How is it working out in practice so far since it kicked in at the beginning of this year?
It's getting off to a pretty bumpy start. The hospitals fought this. They went to court and they lost. And so they had to start publishing these prices, making them publicly available and easily publicly available according to the rule on January 1st. And a number of studies since then have determined that's not exactly what's happening. There was one study that found that 65 of the nation's 100 largest hospitals were, quote, unambiguously noncompliant through February. More recent stories have found that some hospitals are publishing the prices, but putting them in with code that means that if you try and use a search engine like Google, you won't be able to find it, or putting them behind just multiple layers of having to click through. So basically, even those that are complying with the actual part of the rule may not be complying with the spirit of the rule.
That's happening nationally, and we saw a Guy Bolton report in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He called around and looked around at websites. That's happening here in Wisconsin, too, exactly what you just said. Julie, what is this supposed to look like? If I'm shopping around for a procedure, whether it's elective or something I need, but I can, you know, kind of pick my time, what am I supposed to be able to do with this information that's out there?
Well, a lot of this information is going to be of more use to researchers and analysts who will be able to sort of translate it into what it means for consumers. But for consumers, there's supposed to be the specific cost for 300 common and, quote, shoppable services, things like having a baby or getting a knee replaced or having a hernia repaired. And those are supposed to be easily available. And there are a number of ways they have to it's not just what they charge, that's one piece of information, but also the price that they've negotiated with insurers, including, you know, how much they're getting for, you know, the insurer that's paying the most, one that's getting them the least, and the prices that they charge for people who don't have insurance. So it's a range of charges that people should be able to see and should be able to understand, at least for the most common reasons that most people end up in the hospital.
Is this also intended for not just the researcher, not just me, a dude looking to go to a hospital, but for people who shop for lots of things? Like if I run a company and we do our own healthcare coverage, we pay for the cost. We're trying to figure out what plan is going to work for us, what hospital we should send our workers to. Are they part of the target audience here too?
Absolutely. Those are the people who can probably do the best with this, or, you know, employers who pay for their health coverage for their workers and want to know how much, you know, various hospitals are charging. There is concern, though, that, you know, this might drive down prices, making them public, but in some cases it could also drive up prices if a hospital sees it, well, everybody around us is charging, you know, way more. We could raise our prices just a little bit and we'd still be the cheapest. So there is a concern that it may not necessarily work out exactly as hoped. But this is, you know, this whole idea of price transparency is a big part of the Republican effort to reform healthcare. They don't want the government to be dictating prices the way it does for Medicare, to some extent Medicaid. They want consumers and employers and those who actually, you know, do the shopping to be able to see what the prices are so that they can make better choices. That's where this sort of emanated from.
Is it hard for a hospital to say how much something is going to cost? Because I know there are procedures where, say, a colonoscopy, they might go up in their clean bill of health, no problem. They might need to remove polyps and analyze them. So they don't necessarily know when many procedures start, how much work they're going to have to do until they're done, right?
That's true. And there can be complications. I mean, this is not supposed to be how much you exactly will pay, but this is supposed to give you an idea of what the hospital charges and what the hospital charges to whom. It's called de-identified information. So you don't necessarily know, you know, which insurer or employer group they've cut this great bargain with, but you will know that they have cut a bargain with somebody and this is how much that they're going to be paid for this. So it's not supposed to be specific. It's supposed to give you a general idea, which frankly, we don't have now. I mean, hospital charges are all over the place. Even, you know, some of the researchers who've started to look at some of this data, to the extent that it's, already available, have found just dramatic, you know, discrepancies in what can be charged for the same service.
You use the phrase unambiguously non-compliant, meaning a lot of hospitals just aren't doing this. Is it somebody's job to make sure that they do provide at least some kind of price information?
Yes, it is the Department of Health and Human Services. This is one of the few sort of Trump-era health changes that the Biden administration has said it will keep, and it has promised to enforce it. They're just getting their feet on the ground and obviously are busy with lots of things. But there was a letter last week before, from both Republicans and Democrats on the House Energy and Commerce Committee, which oversees this. The Republicans and Democrats in the House do not agree on very much when it comes to health care. But they agreed on this, that, you know, this is the new rule. They members of Congress of both parties support this. The administration supports it, and it should darn well be enforcing it.
We're talking to Julie Rovner, chief Washington correspondent for Kaiser Health News. We're talking about hospital prices, what patients do and don't know about the cost of different procedures. And a new rule kicked in this year that says hospitals are supposed to give their at least ballpark prices for a bunch of common procedures, many of them not there yet. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions about hospital prices, how they work, transparency or lack of same? Have you ever tried to shop around from hospital to hospital? Or do you work at a hospital, maybe in billing? What do you see where you are? Is it easy to comply with this new rule or hard? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about hospital price transparency with Julie Rovner, chief Washington correspondent at Kaiser Health News. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts and or questions on the topic. Julie, this is one idea, this transparency to try to get hospital costs down. The idea, if we can look at everybody's prices, we can shop around, hospitals have to be more competitive. Maybe it will work that way, maybe it won't. What are some of the other ideas that have been out there on the table to try to limit these costs?
Well, obviously, you know, there's the Medicare for All movement would suggest that everybody would get paid Medicare rates. That would be a huge cut in pay for the vast majority of hospitals. They obviously already take Medicare for many patients, but they make considerably more in commercial rates. So they are sort of vehemently against that. And of course, in Washington now, there's an argument going on about just among the Democrats whether they want to move towards Medicare for All or whether they want to further shore up the Affordable Care Act. But, you know, there is definitely more and more sort of hard looks at what hospitals are charging. I mean, everybody talks about drug prices because most people see those at the pharmacy counter. Most people don't go to the hospital every year, so they don't experience how high hospitals are. But hospitals are a much, much larger driver of healthcare spending than drugs are.
Let's bring on a caller now. We've got Deanna in Stevens Point with us. Deanna, hi.
Hi.
What do you want to tell us about, Deanna?
Well, you know, I just moved to Wisconsin from Minnesota. And I had to go to the emergency room a couple months back. It was the quickest emergency room visit I've ever had in my life. It was less than 15 minutes, in and out. And got the bill about a month later, and I just had sticker shock. It was over $500. And so I called Aspyrus, who I went through, and they're like, we don't negotiate our bills. You know, we don't reduce prices. This is how much it costs. I'm like, $300 for a physician consultation. Basically, all he did was write me antibiotics and send me on my way. And, yeah, they're like, nope, no, we don't, you know, we don't reduce costs at all.
Deanna, and thank you so much for sharing that story. I'm sorry to hear that. Julie, not an uncommon story. And I want to talk about the emergency room. Even if we could shop around for prices on things that we can, you know, plan for, nobody's going to shop around for the emergency room costs before they go in a difficult situation, are they?
No, and there are all kinds of requirements that, you know, that emergency rooms, you know, not sort of gouge people because they're not in their network. I mean, that was part of the Affordable Care Act that, you know, and that if you go to if that and that insurers not, you know, retroactively say, well, this wasn't an emergency, so you shouldn't have gone to the emergency room. Now it's defined as what a prudent layperson would consider an emergency. So if you think you're having a heart attack and it turns out that you only had, you know, some kind of terrible indigestion, they will still have to pay for it. But we do see emergency room visits in particular getting really sky high for a variety of reasons. One of them is that it can be hard to find enough doctors to cover an emergency department, so hospitals contract with emergency room practices, and a lot of them are owned by hedge funds now and upping their charges, and the hospitals don't have a lot of choice because they need to have this coverage in their emergency room. And so that you end up with these, you know, really wild bills. Actually, $500 even for a short visit is kind of low compared to what some people have ended up with for, you know, minor things that they went to the emergency room for. So, you know, healthcare pricing and the problem with healthcare costs is really very complicated and very multi-layered right now. This is only a really small piece of it.
Thanks for that call, Deanna. Time for one more caller. Mark is with us in Wisconsin Dells. Mark, hi.
Hi, how you doing? I just had a thought. Does the hospital have to tell me what my doctor's going to charge me for a colonoscopy? Or can they give me a list of what the different doctors that use that hospital charge so I can pick the cheapest one? Or should I go, you know, I'm just wondering if the hospital's rules have to tell me what the doctor charges.
Mark, thanks for the call. Yeah, so do we get kind of can we get an a la carte menu from the hospital? Sure, options maybe even within that hospital, Julie.
Not yet. I mean, right now, these are what the hospitals charge, not necessarily what the doctors charge, although in some cases, you know, if the doctors are part of the hospital system, that can come as part of it. But yeah, this is another issue where people end up with hospital bills, and then they end up with separate doctor bills, particularly if you have surgery, and sometimes you end up with assistant surgeon's bills, and you end up with an anesthesiologist bill. So it's not, you know, as I said, this is a very small piece, although the hospitals themselves, the hospital charges tend to be the largest single chunk if you're going to have care in a hospital.
Thanks for that call. And Julie, we'll leave it there for now. Thanks for joining us.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
That's Julie Rovner, Chief Washington Correspondent for Kaiser Health News. She joined us for a look at new rules on hospital price transparency and what they mean for consumers. Coming up, a new report rates the air quality of Wisconsin. We'll get the results from the American Lung Association. Bright spots plus room for improvement. Right now, it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Member Drive. Bill Martins joins me on the air now. Your gift is super important because gifts from people like you are the largest source of funding for WPR programs. Invest in your future listening right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Today, support WPR and your gift will go twice as far. All donations up to $85,000 will be matched by a group of generous members.
Take advantage of this great offer, and your support for WPR programs you love will be doubled at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Last segment, we talked about a rule the Trump administration came up with that says hospitals have to make pricing decisions public, but a lot of them aren't doing it. So we talked to Julie Rovner from Kaiser Health News, kind of a friend of the program. We talked to her from time to time, talked to her about how the rule works and why it's there, what's happening, et cetera. Kind of what we like to call behind the scenes an explainer, where we just take an issue and break it down so you have a better understanding. Got a couple of callers in as well, which is great. And that's all a part of what makes Central Time work.
And Central Time and Wisconsin Public Radio are listener supported. And that means that your donation makes the many topics you tune in for every day possible. Choose the amount that works for you and then give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
The easiest way to make sure that your support for WPR is always current is to become a sustainer. And that means your monthly gift, whether it's $10 a month, $100 a month, any amount you choose, continues month after month, year after year. So get started. It'll feel awesome at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We know that physical exercise is an important part of staying healthy. Well, so is mental exercise, and getting your daily mental workout is easy when you listen to Wisconsin Public Radio.
Got to get those reps in, Rob. Listening to WPR keeps your brain in great shape, and that's worth your support. Your gift of any amount helps pay for the programs. It keeps you and WPR healthy. So give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Dollar for dollar match still in effect on this, the first day of the spring member drive. Down to, we just need 11,000 now to hit that overall match for the day of 85,000. That would be fantastic if we could get that whole thing. You can help us get there right now with your gift. Get your gift matched at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And a little incentive here, choose to plant a tree as your thank you gift with your contribution of $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You'll make a difference for WPR and help preserve Wisconsin's woodlands.
Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 because you understand that we can't do what we do, bring you these great conversations each and every day without your support and without the support from so many people over the years. Join the Central Time team right now. Get your gift matched dollar for dollar at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, according to the American Lung Association's annual report, a lot of Wisconsin experienced better air quality over the last year, with a few places where there's room for improvement. We'll get some of the details coming up. First, Bill Martins joins me now for the Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Member Drive. You rely on the Ideas Network for informative, interesting conversations. We count on you to keep programs like this one going strong.
Listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs, and that is why your gift of any amount right now makes an important difference. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Today, your donation to Wisconsin Public Radio will be matched. A group of generous members have created a challenge up to $85,000. It means they'll match every gift right now for as long as it lasts.
And we've got about $11,000 left there. And that is their way of encouraging you to support the variety of programming you enjoy on Wisconsin Public Radio. Double your impact right now. It's a great opportunity. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
On Central Time, you get updates on the latest news of the day and interesting conversations like the one we just had about hospital prices, things that might affect your costs in the future, and fun, lively conversations like, well, we invited you to call in with your favorite movie music of all time and had so many great nominations from you. Central Time is your go-to place for informative and interesting afternoons.
And your financial support is a big part of what makes these hours possible. Listener support is the biggest piece of our funding here at WPR. Make a contribution right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Maybe giving a dollar a day is the right amount for your Wisconsin Public Radio listening. When you think about it, a dollar a day, it's a great value, less than a cup of coffee or a soda or a day of cell phone service.
A dollar a day comes out to $30 a month, and you can set that up as a monthly transfer from your bank account or charge it to your credit card. Make your gift right now in the amount that's right for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We've probably all had this happen. We spend money on something and then hardly ever use it.
I would say closets and closets full of clothes that I never wore.
I bought a pair of backcountry skis a few years ago that I have never used.
I bought an extremely cheap violin case that was so cheap that I threw it away within 10 minutes of opening it.
Unlike some investments, your donation to Wisconsin Public Radio is a good one. One you'll get value from every day. Make your gift to support the programs you count on right now. Here's how.
You can make that gift at WPR.org, WPR.org, or 888-202-2552. Rob Ferret here with Bill Martins on Central Time. Your support during the spring member drive makes the WPR programs you count on possible. Your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, is the right amount to give.
Giving to WPR is easy. All we need is your name, contact information, the amount of your gift, and how you'd like to pay.
It takes just a few minutes to make your contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio, and those few minutes will fund your daily listening. Your support right now really does make a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Maybe you've already made a donation this year, or you're a sustaining member. Thank you very much. Consider making an extra gift of, say, $50 or $100 at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Join in this drive, and thank you for your extra support for the programs you enjoy each and every day.
Speaking of extra support, our big dollar-for-dollar match is still in effect. It's a great time to support the Wisconsin Public Radio programs you love on this first day of our spring member drive. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR will go twice as far.
And check it out. Choose to plant a tree as your thank you gift with your donation of $10 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You'll make a difference for WPR and help preserve Wisconsin's forests.
We heard from Allison in Oregon, who says, that's Oregon, Wisconsin. Allison says, I have a very long commute this year, and I enjoy having quality and educational entertainment while I'm driving. Allison, I'm so glad we can be there with you in your car, keeping you engaged on that very long commute. How about you? Do you count on Wisconsin Public Radio to keep you entertained? Entertained and informed and maybe awake while you are driving? Give now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. As part of their annual report, the American Lung Association has given six Wisconsin counties failing grades despite overall improvement in Wisconsin air quality. Sheboygan and Milwaukee counties remain in the top 25 most polluted areas nationally for ozone, though they have fewer unhealthy ozone days than they had in recent years. Angela Tin is a national senior director for the American Lung Association. Angela, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you for asking me.
Before we get into the report on what we found in Wisconsin, let's talk about the pollutants you were looking at. And there's two different ones. I want to take them one at a time. First of all, ozone levels. Can you talk about what they are and why we worry about them?
Yes. What ozone is when nitrogen oxides, which come from combustion materials, combine with volatile organic carbons and sunlight and produces ozone. We know of it as smog or fog or some type of haze in the air.
And what does it mean for our health when we have those bad air days where we have that measurable ozone level in breathing range?
It affects our health, and it also affects our climate. What happens is that the air has to be clean in order to take good breath. And so what happens is that it causes congestion, it causes asthma, it causes lung disease, COPD, and especially harmful to the elderly who has impaired lung functions, and also to the young people who are breathing faster than normal rates.
And the other measures you looked at had to do with particulate matter in the air. What kind of things are we worried about there?
Particulate matter is usually of a particle size, and it's not just the solid material. There's also gaseous material on the particles, and they're very, very small, 2.5 to 10 microns. And they get, when they're in the air, also as a result of incomplete combustion, they go deep into our lungs and affects our lungs and causes the same type of lung disease and lung cancer.
This new report looks at federal measurements in many counties, but not all counties. And that kind of surprised me a little. Where do we measure these ozone levels and particulate levels? Where do we not year to year?
Okay. Year to year, the state Wisconsin DNR has to evaluate their monitoring plan. And right now they have close to 40 monitoring sites, and they evaluate the location of the sites based upon the population, the past levels of pollutants in the air. They also look at other things like effect to low-level ozone, low-level particulate matter. They look at the scale of the site. And so every year they make an evaluation. There's close to 40 of them throughout Wisconsin that are collecting data on a daily basis.
So here we are with your new report. What makes you decide to give a county a failing grade, as some Wisconsin counties did, when it comes to these ozone days?
Okay, so the Wisconsin DNR collects this data, and they feed it into a computer, which goes to the National EPA database. And every year, it's a three-year sliding scale. So this year, we're evaluating the data from 2017 to 2019. And we look at every single day in that year, and we look at the levels of which day is harmful. And we evaluate it on action day, like, for example, ozone action days, you know, when days are orange, red, or purple, or green. And so we count the numbers of days that it is not meeting the ozone standards, and then it gets a corresponding grade. And the six counties in Wisconsin continue to get an F grade.
Talking to Angela Tin, National Senior Director for the American Lung Association, looking at their new report card on a couple different types of pollution in states around the country. Ozone, particularly concerning here in Wisconsin. Angela, you just mentioned six counties. Where did you see problems around the state?
We saw problems in Kenosha County, Manitowoc County, Milwaukee County, Ozaukee County, Racine, and Sheboygan. And these are all counties that border along the Michigan, Lake Michigan.
So what does that translate into in terms of how many days a year a community might be facing those troublesome ozone levels?
Okay. Across the board, across the nation, the 2017 to 2019 calendar year days have been a little bit better for ozone. And we do have less days that are out of compliance, but they still have an F grade. For example, in Sheboygan County, on the last three-year evaluation, it was 13 days out of compliance. And this year, for the 2017 to 2019, there were 9 days out of compliance. But even with 9 days out of compliance, it still has an F rating for that county.
What can a local government or a state government, for that matter, do to try to reduce these ozone levels and hopefully prevent these bad air days?
The problem is not in these days. In the past, the problem was, you know, industry, and we had local sources that were contributing to air quality problems. And right now, the airshed, or the makeup of the air in any particular area, is made up mainly of transportation sources. So whether it's cars or buses or trucks or planes or boats, any type of mobile transportation source is a complete, incomplete combustion source. So therefore, as a part of operations, it puts out pollutants through the tailpipe and also through the vehicle itself, through the off-gassing of the petroleum fuels. So what can we do? We can do a number of things. We can choose to use alternative fuels, which reduces the petroleum composites, like, for example, ethanol, E85, E10, E15. We can use biodiesel in our fuels. We can use biodiesel in our transportation sources that use diesel fuel. And this is made from corn and ethanol. And so as long as we reduce the amount of petroleum coming out the tailpipe, we can improve air pollution.
Until then, for people who have some of the conditions you mentioned earlier, people who might be particularly vulnerable to ozone pollution, what kind of things can they do to monitor when there's a bad air day, and what should they, I guess, avoid on those days?
On those days, you know, there's the information out there now that's readily available that talks about the air quality index, and it tells you whether a day is a green day or an orange day. As we start to approach the warmer months, and the warmer months start in April, actually, you'll get a warning that it may be an orange day or a red day for ozone. And so what we can do to limit or to help improve the environment is perhaps use commuter transportation, reduce the number of vehicles by not driving into work. We cannot refuel during an ozone day. We can minimize the use of our gasoline motors, gasoline lawnmowers, and things like that. So there's a number of things that we can do to help the environment. But most importantly, probably it would be best to stay in and try to make sure that you're not exposed to the bad air quality days.
I know you said the data set, the most recent data, takes us through 2019. Were there concerns about the impact of ozone days during COVID, since it's something that for many people affected their lungs?
Oh, yes, of course. Still starting in March of 2020, we started getting a lot of calls from people saying, well, you know, there are a lot of people that are not going into work. The cars are not on the road. And so we think we see an improvement in air quality. And so people started paying attention to air quality because of the pandemic, which was kind of surprising to us initially. But we can understand why they're paying attention, because they want to breathe cleaner air. And so the pandemic got us to kind of recognize that air quality is improvement, just not for existing lungs, but to fight against future pandemics.
Focus mostly on the ozone pollution, still problems in the state there. One bit of good news, it sounds like, from the data you're looking at, that other kind of pollution you were measuring, the particle pollution, the state gets pretty good grades, or the counties that you're able to measure get pretty good grades, and it seems like things have been improving over the time. What are you seeing for that kind of pollution in the state?
There's the particulate matter has gone down throughout the state and throughout the nation as far as short-term and long-term annual pollutant levels. Even in counties that do not have an A grade, they go to a B grade, for example, they still are below the particulate matter standards. And so the state is in compliance with the standards. But you have to also remember that the standards that EPA passes are not, you know, there's not an endpoint. They're continually revising the standards and setting more tighter limits. So a county that is in compliance with particulate matter right now may not be in compliance the next year as the standards become more stringent.
As we wrap up, Angela, do you think we do enough to sort of mentally connect the dots between the quality of our air and the personal health for somebody with asthma or somebody who's older or otherwise at risk?
Sometimes we don't connect the dots because, you know, back in the 70s and the 60s, we thought that the pollution came from somebody else. And now what we're finding out in this century is that it's not coming from somewhere else. It's coming from ourselves and our mode of transportation. So, yes, we are being better at connecting the dot, but it's our choice that we need to make.
Angela, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
Angela Tin is National Senior Director for the American Lung Association. She joined us to talk about the group's annual report on air quality and what we find here in Wisconsin. Now it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Member Drive. Bill Martins joins me on the air. We are here now to raise the money that pays for the programs that you enjoy, programs like Central Time. Support from people like you is the largest piece of the funding for WPR programs, and that's why your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is such a big deal.
So this group of generous members created a challenge up to $85,000 to inspire you to support WPR today. And we've got $7,000 left in that pool. So as long as that money is there, your gift is going to be matched, and we've been whittling away at it all day long. So this would be a great time to make that gift.
We're inching ever closer. That is great news. Also good news, there's still room, $7,000 left in the challenge for your gift. Double your impact for WPR with your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Last segment, we talked about a new American Lung Association report on air quality. It's better overall in the state, but the Lake Michigan counties are still kind of meh. So we talked about what's going on and what ozone can do to our health. Of course, health is a big topic. It's important to you. You want the information so you can have a better understanding and form your own opinions. And that's what we set out to do each and every day here on Central Time.
WPR is listener supported. That means your donation makes the many topics you tune in for every day possible. Choose an amount that works for you and then give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This member drive, let the impact of your contribution go beyond the WPR programs you love. Choose to plant a tree as your thank you gift with your donation of $10 a month or more. You'll power the essential news and quality entertainment you rely on, and your thank you gift will help preserve forests in Wisconsin. Thank you for making a difference with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I like to listen to WPR because it informs me, enriches me, and also kind of challenges me. It's just wonderful. I listen the minute I wake up on the way to work, when the work day is done, in the evening, and we even have the radio on for our pets during the day. I became a sustaining member, first of all, because of the convenience. It helps me be a part of WPR in a significant way because it's ongoing. It's a way to keep the mission going, and my small part, I think, plays a part in that. I'm David from Stevens Point, Wisconsin. I encourage you to join me in sustaining Wisconsin Public Radio.
You can join David by going to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. It's Central Time. Rob Ferret here with Bill Martins. Your support right now of Wisconsin Public Radio keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. Whether you give $10 a month or $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
Support the programs you love right now when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and then take another great step. Check with your employer about matching your gift.
A lot of employers will match their employees' gifts, even retired employees, to mirror the good that they do in the community. Ask your HR department. Or after you've made your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, check for your company on our website at WPR.org/match. Thanks for going that extra step for the programs you care about.
WPR is probably a preset in your home or your car, maybe your home and your car. I mean, you listen to WPR a lot. So help pay for the station you enjoy so much. Become a member today.
Make the switch from someone who listens to someone who listens and contributes. You can start with a gift of $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
A dollar-for-dollar match is still in effect. We've got $7,000 left. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR will go twice as far.
And choose to plant a tree as your thank you gift with your contribution of $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You'll make a difference for WPR and help preserve Wisconsin's woodlands.
Hey, if you're a sustaining member, making ongoing monthly gifts, thank you very much. Make today the day you increase your support of WPR by, let's say, $5, maybe $10 a month, whatever amount you choose, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And when you increase, your first year of contributions will be matched right now.
Janet in Sun Prairie says, I've been a longtime listener and contributor to public radio in both Minnesota and Wisconsin. I value what WPR offers, and I listen every day. All radios in my home and in the car are tuned to WPR. Thank you so much, Janet. Glad you are out there listening. Thank you so much for giving. How about you? Make your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
So here on Central Time, we explore different perspectives, let you make up your own mind. And of course, you're always welcome to join the conversation. We love it when you do that. We love your phone calls and your emails, Facebook posts, tweets. We love having you a part of these programs. We also really love your financial support. We could not do this without you. And you can make that gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We count on you to help support the conversations you count on hearing. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support.